Blog you are Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. This has been quite a week. On Tuesday, the judge ruled in favor of the people. We had a recall in for the puppet mayor here in the city of Benton Harbor. The judge ruled that the recall can go forward. It was a major, major decision. I expected it, but unfortunately, I would never believe it today. We're living in a time where the corporations are controlling everything. We're at war, whether you like it or not. We are at war. And those of you who are out there sitting around thinking that things are going to get better, I'm telling you, they won't get better unless you make them better. You have to stand up and fight for the people. Right now, they got the army patrolling our streets, doing everything they can to hurt us, destroy us, and we're allowing it to happen. I'm here to tell you today that it's time that we fight back. There would never, ever, ever, ever be a change without a conflict. You can sit around and say that things are going to get better, but they're not. They want to eliminate everybody. It's open season for our young folks. Here in Benton Harbor, we have had four young men to end up in Lake Michigan. One even with his penis cut off. Nobody saying nothing. We as a group never ever speak up unless something happens to us directly. That's why we're in this compromising position. And I say this to those ministers who sitting around doing nothing. Who actually sitting around doing nothing, your day is going to come. You're going to get it double. It's time for the people to take a stand. It's time for the people to move this thing to a whole different level. It's time that we start doing things that need to be done. You can win, but you have to get out there and want to win. You have to fight. If you don't fight, you can't win. But we want to win this war. We want to win this battle. We want to continue fighting, and we're going to do all the things we can. Let's listen to a little Tracy Chapman, and let's see what she got to say about what we should be doing and we're not doing. It's time that the people take a stand. It's time that we move this thing to a whole different level. It's time that we move forward and do what we have to do. It's time for revolution. It's time for the revolution. It's time for the revolution.
Don't you know what? Talking about a little bit of a sound. While they're playing the rules of their mind. Minds are losing, settling on, just settling on. Wasting time, getting out of all the lines. Keeping them around, waiting for us one more time. Don't you know? Talking about a little bit of a sound.
Run.
About a revolution. It is time that people start doing things around here before it's too late. They are bringing in the army. Every community now has tanks. Even little bitty Benton Harbor have their very own tanks. Two of them. Time for the people to take a stand. It's time that we say no more. There's a whole lot of Benton Harbors in Ferguson, Missouri. They're there. But we have to take a stand and say no more, because they're coming. They're coming, and they're coming after you and your children. So it's time that we take a stand. Listen, I'm going to try to tune in, to dial in to Ferguson, Missouri, and find, can I get this young man on the phone? So just bear with me for a second. Let's see, can we talk to somebody who's actually on the scene? Yes, bear with me just for a second. Let's see where we at. Okay. It doesn't appear that I'm going to be able to get the young man in, but we're not going to finish. We're going to keep trying until we get him, okay? Those of you who are out there, just bear with me. It's time. It's that time. It's time that we start standing up for everybody. Can we do that? Phone number, call a guest. All right. Well, we won't be able to get them, but I'll bring in, before I do anything else, let's listen to the witness himself talk about what happened with Chris.
Jimmy now is Dorian Johnson, who says he saw the shooting and his attorney, Stephen Charles Wayne Jr. Mr. Johnson, you said you were walking with Michael at that moment. Were there other people on the street that could have witnessed or corroborated your account? Because obviously the police are telling a very different story than what you and some other witnesses said.
Well, at the moment, at the time when we were in the street, before the officer pulled all the way on the side of us, no, I did not see anyone. My eyes were not looking for anyone. My ears were open just talking to my friend. So before the officer said his first words, no, I did not see anyone.
How quickly did this escalate? It sounds like from your account that it was a sort of casual comment made by a police officer for the two of you to get off the street. And it sounds like gunshots within, what, 60 seconds? What was the time frame of this encounter like?
The time frame was a little, just like you said, 60 seconds or less. It sped up so quickly. It got out of hand real quick. Like it wasn't even more, like you said, 60 seconds.
Did Michael reach and struggle for the officer's gun as the police are saying he did?
That is incorrect, sir. He did not reach for a weapon at all. He did not reach for an officer's weapon at all.
And you were able to see this interaction?
Yes, sir. Correct.
Were you scared in that moment?
Not scared yet, but more shocked at how the officer approached us. It just more shocking than scared at that moment.
Mr. Buzley, have you or in your client, have you been approached by investigators? It seems like this is very key. Eyewitness testimony.
Well, what is interesting about this is that we have not, as a matter of fact, the NAACP of Office Pruitt contacted the authorities and the police department yesterday to make us available and make Mr. Johnson available. And at that point, they said they had some other things going on. They did not want to interview Mr. Johnson at that time, and also wanted to indicate that Mr. Johnson ran away and was not really a person that witnessed everything that was going on. And of course, you know, we know that is not correct.
Well, Mr. Johnson, is there any doubt that you were there with Michael at that moment?
Sir, I did not leave until the last shot was fired, until I confirmed that my friend was not moving and he was dead. That's when I took off running.
Is there the possibility, based on your account of how things went down, do you believe that, say, a dash camera from the police officer's video would show what happened in terms of how things were set up initially?
No, the way that the officer approached us, if there was a dash cam on his car, all that it would have gotten is me and my friend walking in the street, and that's it.
Because the actual shots fired and Michael's death came when he was behind the police car, am I correct?
His death came from behind the police car, but the initial shot, we were on the side of the job, the door of the police car.
What was going through your head as you are now, you say, crouched behind a car watching a police officer chase your friend?
I'm fearing for my life at this moment because at this time, the first shot had already been fired and I noticed my friend had been shot. I've been in situations before where gunfire has let out and I really don't take time for guns. So I feared for my life. I didn't know what to do in shock. My body really couldn't move at that moment.
How close were you and Michael?
I didn't fully have to extend my arm out to touch Michael or the officer. I was that close that I could touch both of them without even fully extending my arm.
Did Michael at any point strike out, lay hands on, assault the officer?
He did not initially assault the officer. I didn't see at no point in time while I was standing in the officer's driver's door window where he touched the officer in any type of threatening way, not whatsoever.
How close friends were you and Michael? Were you tight?
We weren't so much as close friends childhood, but the time when I met him, because I had just moved over in the apartment, when I met him, we just became good friends.
And what kind of person?
He was a very cool person, quiet, calm, and gentle.
Dorian Johnson and Freeman Rosley Jr., his attorney. Thank you, gentlemen, both. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You have just heard it from an eyewitness exactly what happened, who was just happened to be with Mr. Brown when he was murdered. The guy said that he was running away, and once the guy put his hands up, the officer kept shooting more than once. I tell you, this is, you know, there's a whole lot of Ferguson, Missouri's around in Benton Harbor. We're just one step, one conviction, one election away from actually using what we know. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, Dr. Short. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney, and in communication with Press TV as we speak to cover what's happening in Ferguson.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can you tell us what you know about what's going on down there? I know you are in touch with the people in Ferguson also. As a matter of fact, you put me in touch with a young man. Unfortunately, I know he's inside the church now. And
He's calling me right now. Give me
right,
just
maybe,
a moment, please.
All right. Very good. Yes. Very good. And you can just bring him in.
Reverend Pinckney?
Yes, I'm here.
That was him calling. They're blocking his call. If you give me a moment, I'll call him. We can conference him.
Very good.
They're in the church.
Good.
They have police. The young people, several hundred young people have marched. They will not follow Reverend Sharpton. I was on the phone with the sister in New York. with the United African Movement, who has documentation that shows that Sharpton is an FBI informant, and we've been discussing this. They do not want to follow him. Right? What has happened is Sharpton and his, he's a bag man. He throws money around at victims who are desperate and buys them up and uses the family against any movement. This is what he's attempting to do. And he's using the other pimp, Martin Luther King III, who's achieved very little other than being a fatter, taller version of his dad. The one who's trying to sell the Bible for money. So I guess they didn't get enough for the book, so now they're going to try to hustle this. In reality, look at what's happening. What's happening there is what happened down in Florida. Forgive me for forgetting the town that Trayvon Martin is from. They brought in all the race pimps, all the race whores, all the blacknecks. Again, I said all the blackneck traitors are there to try to defuse the situation because Obama's been humiliated. What people are not understanding, aside from today being Marcus Garvey's birthday, aside from the fact today Abraham Lincoln in 1862 wanted all the black people to go back to Africa, that was his instruction. This is the conclusion of the first week in 8 years that the United Nations High Commission on Human Rights for a whole week grilled the United States for its apartheid against African Americans that's been kept out of the news. The United States looks terrible, and this exploding at the same time, the first 8 years, just underscored that the United States is not making progress, nor does it seem to want to have it. Let me reach this brother so he can tell you. He's in the church, and they're trying to force Sharpton down the throats of the masses of the people, using sympathy for the family as a trump card that the people cannot represent themselves. African-American people need democracy. We don't need people like Sharpton or Jesse to be perennial leaders for life for pay against our interest as a people. Let me call them. I'm going to step off.
As you know, Jesse just left. He's there also.
Well, they told we wrote up, I co-wrote their statement. What they want, people, Al Sharpton at Eric Garner's funeral set up a man named Ramsey Orta to come before the media so the police could ID the man who filmed them murdering Eric Garner in front of everyone. And then they set him up on a false gun charge, slapped him with a $75,000 bail. It's interesting that Sharpton has not, who's a multimillionaire hustler, paid $30,000 or $40,000 a march, hasn't given 1 cent to Mr. Ramsey Orta. His wife was also arrested. I was on the phone with her yesterday. What we're demanding is that Sharpton pay the whole bill. He's got contacts, $75,000. He pays that out for people to cover up his private life. Why not pay that to get that man out of jail so we can get those killer cops off the street? This is what's going on. We're at a Soweto moment in this country. We're at a Soweto moment. Those young people rebelling out of Ferguson and college students from Howard University, like the sister that got shot in the head. I want to shout out to Bison Howardites, that they see that what happened in 1960 with the students sitting in across the country is about to happen. Obama is psychologically, culturally, spiritually, and metaphysically incapable. He has no testicular fortitude. He doesn't have the balls or the moral authority to tell us to go home or be calm or quiet, because people want their human rights and they want it now.
Hey, you have said a mouthful. I really appreciate that. Are you trying to get the brother on the phone now?
I'm doing it right now.
All right. We'll just hold for a second and just listen. And it's amazing when you think about what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. It's time that people start moving forward. I think it's time before it's too late. I'm telling you, they're getting themselves organized to put the military in our communities. That is exactly what they're working on. They're going to start putting the army, they're going to be trained to go into our communities with the tanks, smoke bombs, the AK-47, whatever it is, and to be in our community. Unless, and here's something I want to tell people
that Buy That Gun project that they don't. Do not give up your guns for any reason. Do not give up your guns. Once you give up your guns, you could become vulnerable. So we want people to now to take a stand, because it's time that we start fighting back. We're in a mess here, and it's going to get worse before it gets better unless we do something about it. This is a very, very serious situation, and it's going to get rough. It's going to get tough, but we need to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So we're trying to get the young man from Ferguson on the phone now. Just bear with us. We had a tremendous week this week. We also had the opportunity to win a major victory. And also, I was planning on filing criminal charges against the clerk and the sheriff's department for taking the recall petitions out of the clerk's office without a warrant, a subpoena, or a court order. So we're there, and we're doing the things that need to be done. We're staying focused. We're not ashamed of what we're doing. But let me go to my good friend, David Frank, while we're waiting for this young man to come back. Let's go to David. David Frank, are you there?
Hey, Reverend Taylor, how you doing?
David Frank.
Oh, I'm sorry, Reverend Pinkney.
That is correct.
You caught me in a different world there for a second. Hey, you doing all right?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. I'm having a wonderful day, a major victory, and we're just doing some things. So, listen, I may have that guy on the phone, so just bear with me. Don't leave me, okay? Hey, Dr. Short, are you back?
Call is now being recorded.
Dr. Short.
Yes.
Are
yes,
you back?
Sir.
Absolutely. It sounds
okay.
Like he's right inside.
Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes. I am.
It's hot in there. It's hot in there. We're standing outside. Still maintaining our position. Like I said, we ran into a little resistance, but you know we know what we need to do.
Can you hear him, Reverend Pinkney?
Can you hear me? Can you hear
yes,
me speaking
I
right
can hear
now?
You.
Okay,
and
listen.
I just hear you now.
Okay, here's
he
what I want to know.
They're maintaining their position that they don't want Sharpton meeting their mark. They don't want him. They want Sharpton in the background, or they want him to go home.
How about Jesse? Will Jesse go home also?
Jesse's left.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's our position. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. And you know, like I said, we have run into some resistance, which is expected. So we just have to continue to do what we need to do. We got a lot of sales here. We got a lot of black necks here. So we just got to continue doing what we are doing, expand the cause. You know, there's so far we haven't seen brothers and sisters in solidarity here at the church, Greater Grace Church, as of yet, but we are still here, as I said, waiting on that opportune moment. We have not been in a position to speak to anyone other than a few representatives and a few protesters out here. We have not been able to and the rest of the media as of yet. What was that?
Hey, let me ask you one question.
I can't hear you.
Have they still put martial law into effect?
To my understanding, that's going to be in effect. I don't know how long. Not at ground zero right now. We will be back at ground zero. But we are at the Greater Grace Church.
Oh, beautiful. And listen, tell me what you want us to know.
Our position is that Sharpton must not leave this march. We want brothers and sisters out here standing in solidarity with us. We want brothers and was at ground zero with us.
Hey, well, you definitely have my support, 100%. And I know you're in the church.
We appreciate that. We appreciate
that.
Can't
talk too long, but listen, I'm gonna let you go. Hey, Dr. Short. We appreciate that, but I know it's difficult. So let's I'm gonna move on. And we're gonna talk to him after the show.
Okay. All right, peace.
All right. Take care, man. Thank you so much for coming on. All right. Dr. Short?
Yes, I'm here.
Absolutely. That was tremendous, man. Yes, I'm here.
The young people are ready to move. This is our Soweto moment, people. This is a time for us to get rid of the blacknecks and for the killer pimp preachers, killer cops, sellouts. We have to clean house. I'm going to quote the scriptures. Jesus the Christ said, if you clean the inside of a cup, the outside you'll clean too. It's time for us to go and get our traitors and these pimps, these race pimps, these liars, these blacknecks, people who've held us down in association with the Anglo-American oppression, Anglo-American Nazism and apartheid that they call post-racialism. These people must be exposed and removed from our community. The sooner we purge filth like Al Sharpton from the lives of our people, the safer we'll be. These young people are showing a lot of wisdom and self-control. The very thing that the racist media doesn't tell you, that young black people have good sense. They've got discipline. They have dreams. They have aspirations. And they've shown that facing machine guns and tear gas. In fact, they face worse than what people faced 50, 60 years ago who have the nerve to judge them or act as if this fake case of someone stealing something justifies the murder of our young people, that young man, Michael Brown. Reverend Pinckney, I just want to say three more things. One of the things that I'm saying to the younger people is that there's an International Bill of Human Rights, which includes the International Convention for the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, which the United States ratifies but does not really apply within this country. Those are rights we already have. There's a thing called the Principles for Effective Prevention and Investigation of Extrajudicial, Arbitrary, and Summary Executions that was passed in 1989, meaning any policeman that shot or killed someone faces international charges. The United States is a signatory for it. That means if there's a death penalty in Missouri, that officer that shot him should be looking at going to death row. And wherever there's a death penalty for the 5,000 or more people murdered by police, most of them black since 2001, there should be thousands of cops on death row in this country just by the laws. There are two other conventions, or three. The International Convention for the Rights of Women. Our women have to be protected. The International Convention for Civil and Political Rights, which guarantees our right to representation and self-determination, which the United States does not enforce. And there's one they won't even sign called the International Convention for Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. As I speak to you, my cousin who wrote the script that became Avatar has been cheated out of $4 billion because he has no cultural rights. We don't have any social rights. And by sure, they've stolen $500 billion from us through the subprime loans. We have no economic rights. Our thrust must be that we no longer trust the constitution of our oppressors, but we grab on to the international rights that are inalienable, that belong to us by virtue that we exist, that God put breath in our bodies. We need to stop waiting for these people and stop pretending that the 13th Amendment made us free, because the second half of the 13th Amendment justified the mass incarceration and re-enslavement of our people. You're talking about a giver. I'm talking about an Anglo giver. It takes twice as much as it gives, then takes twice as much as it gave that it took.
Wow, hey, you just said a whole mouthful. Hey, I really, really appreciate you, man, because let's do this. Let's talk again after the show, and
sure.
Let's stay focused and figure out how we're going to help those folks down in Ferguson, because I got a lot of friends down there in that area, and matter of fact, they've been calling, and but they're not in Ferguson. And today we got a chance to talk to somebody who actually lives in Ferguson and also is right there inside the church. My brother,
send me the numbers, because Press TV wants to talk to people on the ground. I don't know
okay.
a lot of people down there. So after the
I know
show,
a lot of
send me.
Down there.
And let everybody know I'm doing another film on mass
right.
incarceration. Let your network know I need participation. We're about to make maybe a 7 or 8 part series. We're going to bring the house down, Reverend Pinckney. We're tired of this mess, and we're going to burn the whole house down.
Hey,
amen.
I'm sick and tired of it, too. I'm sick and
yeah.
tired of it. You know? And it's,
sick
you know,
and tired.
You know, I've had enough of these folks. It's going to get worse before it get better.
And that's
so,
why they used to sing that song, if I had my way, I'd burn this whole house down. I'd tear this building down. This structure of injustice and racism and lack of human rights, we're going to tear the whole building down as long as the two bricks stuck together.
Hey, my all right, I got to let you go, my brother.
See,
but, hey,
all
appreciate
right.
you, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
All right now. Hey, let me bring back on my good friend David Frank, my main man, Dr. Short. He was ready to go off, completely off, because a lot of times you have not seen him going off, but he's the type of guy who know where he at and know what he have to do and know what we have to do in order to get this thing done. But David Frank, you also have a plan, and I believe your plan will work, but unfortunately the power to be is there. Talk to me about your plan and what you want to do.
Well, I want to do exactly what your friend was just talking about. I think self-representation is the only way we're ever going to find the truth. And we now have the communication technology to give everyone an equal and real voice on the issues that affect their lives. And I think that's what we need to be doing. That's what's missing. I think the reason we're all at each other's necks is we're being misrepresented. And now it's time, you know, Jesus said, seek the truth. The truth will make you free. The politicians don't represent us. You know, just because there's a black guy sitting on the city council or a white mayor or whoever it is, that doesn't mean anything. Nobody knows how you feel about the issues more than you do. And we live in the 21st century. We're voting on American Idol. We're voting on Dancing with the Stars. We're voting on CNN. There's really no reason why in our communities, Reverend Pinckney, that we can't vote directly on where we want our tax monies to go and not go, the laws that we live under. All kinds of things, environmental ideas, new energies, things like that. But you're right, the politicians aren't going to do it for us. We've got to do it for ourselves, and that's why we've got to stand up with a better plan. We aren't going to beat them physically, but what we've got to do is we have to outsmart them. And the way that you do that is you understand how the system doesn't work and how it can work. And the old system's done, like your friend said. I mean, the Constitution was a communication plan 240 years ago to supposedly take our voices to Washington, Indianapolis, or state capitals, or downtown. Well, it's filled with crime and corruption, and it doesn't work. And that's why we've got to change it.
Hey, I agree with that 100%. And see, here's the thing. You have to tell people how, tell them your plan and how you plan to execute this.
The plan is really very simple. It can be explained very simply. You got a TV, yeah? You got a touch-tone phone, yeah? Well, why don't you just watch issues over the TV and vote by phone? What we're going to do, Reverend Pinckney, is we're going to use our public broadcasting station, our only non-commercial broadcasting station around the country that is actually owned by we the people. We're the ones that finance it. And we're going to turn that into our local issues television and radio channel, and we're going to let the people, not the politicians, but the people, present their ideas directly to the community. when they have better ideas to make the education system better, better tax system, whatever it is, they can present their ideas to the community over the TV, the radio, and the internet. We'll debate these ideas because we want people to be educated on these ideas, and then people can vote with any touchtone phone. Their call will go into a community database. It'll have their ID number and PIN number. Ask what issue number they'd like to vote on. Press 1 for yes, 2 for no. Count the vote. Block them out from voting more than once. Every time the debate is replayed over a 10-day period, there'll be an updated tally of the yeses and the noes. And at the end of 10 days, not only will the people in your community understand the issue, but it will come from them. And we will implement that in our own community. And when we find things that work, we'll share that with other communities. And when they find things that work, they'll share it with us, and we'll start rebuilding America from the ground up.
Now, let me ask you this question. Now, you know these corporations. You know how they operate. How can we possibly get this through without them stopping us?
Well, the first thing that you have to realize is that those corporations, they are America. That is our new government. Those corporations are basically, are those 535 people you're seeing that are making the rules are not your government. Those are just shills, like this guy was talking about before. What we've got to do is realize that they are misrepresenting us. They're making the laws to benefit themselves. And what we need to do is have a voice in our communities to say no. We aren't going to send our money to the state capitol so they can send it back, whatever. But the first thing that we have to realize is that we are voluntarily feeding the cancer that kills us, that is killing us. By hooking up this technology in each community, we can all have a voice, and we can tell India state capitals, sorry, we're going to keep our tax money right in our own community to take care of the things that we want taken care of. Yeah, they aren't going to like it. You're absolutely right. But it's not about them. It's about us. You know, we're not paying them to care about themselves. We're paying them to care about us. And if they're not doing it, we've got to have an alternative plan. And we have the alternative plan. This is the technological town hall meeting system that Perot spoke of when he was on Larry King Live, and America went crazy. But he didn't know how to build it. He thought you build it from the top down. That's why he ran for president. A system like this needs to be built community by community. The politicians have been remapping America for a long time with gerrymandering, and I'm sure you know what that is, but if your listeners don't, gerrymandering is remapping a district so that a politician can get elected or reelected. The Postal Service figured it out with zip codes. They remapped America so that we could get our mail better. The phone company figured it out with area codes. They remapped America so we could communicate better. And the American people have to now figure it out. We can now remap America so that it looks like a honeycomb. And if you look at God's creature that's most responsible for making the world beautiful, it's a honeybee. He stores the fruits of its labor in a honeycomb. And we have the satellite and computer technology now to remap America so that it looks like a honeycomb. Your community will now be a hexagon. We'll use local public broadcasting to be our new local issues television and radio channel. We'll build a database in every community to receive the calls or the votes. And we can now have decisions in a 21st century way made of the people, by the people, and for the people. And by the way, this is the plan that fulfills the dream of Dr. King, because it gives everyone an equal and real voice on the issues that affect their lives.
Wow, you know, that's amazing when you think about it, because that's really exactly what I'm trying to do here in the city of Benton Harbor, and that's how we have the resistance here. Because you have a corporation here, Whirlpool Corporation, that not only controls itself, also controls the court system, it controls the school system, it controls all the elected officials here. And here's my question. How do we get past this corporation? Because they're going to be flooding money into this thing to buy people all pretty much the same way.
You know, the corporations have been able to do this because they have enough money to buy off 535 people in Washington.
Right.
Or they have enough money to buy 150 people off in state capitals, or they have enough to buy five of the nine off in local governments. but they don't have enough money to buy out 267,000 people in our community. And when we, the people, are doing the voting in our own privacy whenever we want, they can bribe us all they want. But the bottom line is they won't know how we vote. And that's what this does. And the only reason that they're powerful is they have a voice. The reason we're powerless is we don't have a voice. What this does is it allows the last to be first and the first to be last. That's what this technology has been dropped in our laps for. And what I'd really like to do now, I'm working with people here in our community here in South Bend and with you in Benton Harbor, but what I'd like to do is really get this information to the people down in Ferguson, because I think they're ripe and ready to go. They all want a voice down there. That's what they want. That's exactly what this plan does for them. It gives everyone an equal voice so that they can stop being misrepresented and they can start really building the kind of community that they want for themselves. And this takes the direction of the police department away from the politicians, and it gives it to the people. It allows the people to decide what role they want their police department to play in their lives. You know, years ago, policemen were called peace officers. And today they're called law enforcement officers. That's what the Gestapo was called in Nazi Germany. They were the law enforcement officers, you know. And the problem is when you have corrupt lawmakers, you have corrupt law enforcers. And that's what happens when you have corruption at the top, like a big cancer that's trying to kill you. You have it all the way down. That's why your educational system is corrupt. The judicial system is corrupt. The penal system is corrupt. It's all corrupt because they're just doing what they're doing at the top. The leaders of our country are teaching that this is okay. It's okay to take bribes to make decisions. But remember, the only reason that a person making decisions for someone else would take a bribe, it's not for the truth. You always bribe somebody to tell a lie. You never bribe them to tell the truth. And that's why nothing is working. But we can fix this. We have the technology. Everyone on your listening audience has access to a TV. They have access to a phone. They have access to the internet. We can do this community by community. That's the way you fix America, piece by piece, not from the top down, from the ground up.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Matter of fact, when you first introduced that program to me, I was very, very excited because I said, this is something that could neutralize the corporation. But that's great. But listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on. What you want people to know.
Oh, I want people to know that there in Benton Harbor, you've got a wonderful guy that cares about your community. You people need to stand shoulder to shoulder with him, because he is doing what he's doing for you. He's not doing it for himself. And Reverend Pinckney has always been open to listen to other people. He's listened to this plan. He supports it. If your system is not working and you're upset about it, you have to come up with a better idea. We have a better idea. Knocking the old system down and rebuilding the same system and just putting new goofballs in there is not going to do it. You have to use as many brain cells as possible. That's what this system does. And when you vote, you're not black, you're not white, you're not a Jew, you're not a Christian, you're not a Muslim. You are a person, period. So anyway, Reverend Pinckney, thank you so much for having me on your program. Appreciate everything you do, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
All right, and thank you for coming on. And I tell you, I think we're moving in the right direction. I always say it's more of us than them, but we have to stand together shoulder to shoulder. Black, white, pink, yellow, whatever color you want to be, we have to be together, stand together, and fight this monster, because it's going to get worse before it gets better if we don't stand together. So thank you so much, David Frank. We will talk soon. God bless you. And I got to move on. I'm going to make a call right now, see can I get this young man on the phone. And let's see what I can do, okay? Just bear with me, everybody. Let's see what happens. Okay. I'm thinking he may be inside the church himself. All right, let me try somebody else, okay? Let's see, can I get this young man from here? All right, there you go. I think we got him. Dennis Knows. Dennis Knows, you're not there. Okay, let me move on, and let's bring in my good friend from Colorado, Ed Billings. Ed Billings, you there?
Yes, Reverend, I am here. Good morning. Wow, this is very inspiring, and what I have called to talk to you about, I think that if we don't pay attention, we're going to see more incidents like in Ferguson, Missouri. What we have going on in a city to the south of me, as you know, I'm in Colorado Springs, but somebody brought to my attention what is going on in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We have a police chief by the name of Eric Garcia. This man, from what I'm reading, is a dirty crook. What he has done was, first of all, there was a police lieutenant by the name of Jason Wagner, who was apparently caught falsifying his time card and stealing overtime from the city. When they found out about this, he resigned. When Eric Garcia was appointed to be police chief by Mayor Javier Gonzalez, he rehired Jason Wagner and promoted him to captain. That's only the tip of the iceberg, sir. He is also wanting to do away with the policy that anyone convicted of domestic violence would be disqualified from being a police officer. Now, Police Chief Eric Garcia wants to hire people as a police officer convicted of domestic violence. And these are things we need to pay attention to, because that's how these things get started. That's how you start to see incidents like in Ferguson, Missouri, where that poor young man was shot and killed by that racist cop. We will start seeing stuff like this here. People in Colorado Springs, where I'm living now, weren't paying attention to certain things. In recent years, there have been several incidents of police brutality in Colorado Springs. 2003, Colorado Springs police shot tear gas at peaceful anti-war protesters. 2007, Colorado Springs police, and I will name one of the police officers involved in this, Edwin Palladino, was involved in dragging a 65-year-old woman across the street for wearing a peace sign and marching in the parade that they did not approve. They didn't approve of this message, so they started brutalizing people. After that, there was a young black kid who was in Colorado Springs Acacia Park, and for no reason, Colorado Springs police shot him with a taser. And this comes from people not paying attention to what's going on. So now, getting back to Santa Fe, New Mexico, these things I had described to you are the start, and I really believe it is the start of how you start seeing excessive force later. And yes, the militarization is real. It's already taking place in Ferguson, Missouri, as we've seen on the news and continue to hear about. And yes, Colorado Springs Police has militarized vehicles, and I do believe that Mayor Bach at any time may order martial law to be placed on the citizens of Colorado Springs. This can happen in Santa Fe. This can happen in a small town in Middle America, anywhere. And we have to be aware of this. You're right, Reverend. It is time for a revolution. It's time.
You know, Hello? You absolutely. You know, I'm here. You're absolutely correct. And I tell you, Ed, this thing is going to get worse before it gets better unless these people wake up and start doing things. We need to start talking to each other just a little bit more.
We don't talk to each other enough. We talk at each other rather than talk to each other. And it's time that we change the way we do business also, because whether we like it or not, they're coming for us. They're coming for
yes,
us with
they
the
are.
Army. With the Army.
Yes,
like,
they are.
I'm
and it is happening everywhere. It is happening
yeah.
everywhere. No matter how beautiful this city is in the middle of America, no matter how beautiful and Santa Fe, New Mexico is, no matter how beautiful Colorado Springs is, they're coming for us.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right. And what I would like to do now, government officials in Santa Fe are aware that you and I are talking. There are government officials in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I'm sure in Colorado Springs, aware that you and I are talking. I did receive an email from a government official. I'm not sure if I should reveal her name or not, but I'm going to go ahead and read you the email, and I will forward it to you, to your email, after we get done. It says, it was addressed to me, "Thank you. I am enjoying the view from where you sit. You must know Daniel Chacone. Daniel Chacone is a news reporter who used to be a reporter for the Colorado Springs Gazette. He kept bringing up dirt on Mayor Bach, and Mayor Bach had basically talked the Gazette into firing him, so now he's working for the Santa Fe New Mexican. I always like a spirited conversation with him. Most are. Keep up the good work. Political satire is strong and, in my opinion, a needed tool of democracy. All the best. I'm glad we communicated, as my initial email didn't allow either of us much. Keep working. It's important." So what this email tells me is we definitely need to keep this up. I have to admire the gentlemen who are, the ladies and gentlemen who are marching right now in Ferguson, Missouri. And yes, the people in that community should take the lead. Reverend Al Sharpton and Reverend Jesse Jackson have gotten too much fame and fortune out of things like this, and that's not what this is about. Absolutely not. The people in that community know best, and they are the ones that need to lead the march. If Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson want to participate, fine, but there's no reason why they should be taking the lead. The people who live in that community, that know that community best, are the ones to take the lead.
And you know what? You are 100% correct. Usually when you see Jesse and Al around, usually the saying is, we got played. And they got paid. That's the motto when usually when they're around. Well, listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on. And it's time for I need a cartoon. I know you're good at cartoons. Let's
yes,
see
sir. I do thank you for that. And yes. So before I take my 90 seconds, what is your request, sir?
I would like to have a cartoon connecting Benton Harbor, Colorado Springs, and Ferguson, Missouri, connecting those two
together. Absolutely, absolutely. I will be happy to do that. I have to do a little bit of reading first about
mm-hmm.
all three of these cities, and it will tell me exactly how best to do that. You saw the one cartoon I already did of Mayor Hightower, Mayor Bach, and Mayor Gonzalez sitting around having a dinner party. So, yes, you know, I'm pretty sure that I can come up with something. Especially that, with the mayor, police chief, we'll think of something. I have to sit down and do some research. But I'll take my 90 seconds real quick. This is a message to the people of Santa Fe, New Mexico. If you think that that what happened in Ferguson, Missouri cannot happen in Santa Fe, you are wrong. Take a good look. When Police Chief Eric Garcia is allowing a thief, mind you, a thief who had resigned from the police department to be rehired and promoted, and if this very same police chief is willing to allow wife beaters to be hired onto the force. And if these people do not care how much they are going to hurt, they're hurting their wives, they're not going to care about how much they're hurting you. And the same thing, therefore, the same thing that happened in Ferguson, Missouri, will happen in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Thank you, Reverend, and I will let you go, and I will get to work on that on some research, and I will have that cartoon ready for you pretty soon.
Hey, appreciate you. You have a great day. You hear?
And yes, we'll talk you too, soon. Reverend. God bless.
And tell my good friend, Dr. Tucker, I said, hey.
I will tell him that. I did text him. I made him aware that I was talking to you, and I will be sending the link to your show over to Dr. Tucker. Thank you so much for having me once again.
All right. Let me bring in my good friend from formerly from Benton Harbor, Michigan, the former commissioner, a guy that's on the move, my man, my guy, Dennis Knows. Dennis Knows, are you there?
I am here. Hope y'all have all that love going on in the background, but God is moving in the house today. How y'all doing? God bless y'all.
Doing great. How about yourself?
Hey, we're doing all right. We got fights at all levels. We're just sitting here talking about police corruption. We're talking courthouse corruption. We're talking about people needing to take the proper stand for ourselves, and nobody's going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. But you got to do it with rigor. Just like
absolutely. I'm doing great. But listen, you know, I'm so glad that you're sitting there talking about that, because we need to start talking about what's going on in our community, because I'm telling you, they're building an army to beat us down and to kill us and imprison us. So we have to start building an army and getting folks trained to know how to fight. Always remember the Vietnamese War. I don't care what nobody says. The Vietnamese told this world, told the whole world, that we can defeat the United States. And here's the reason why they were able to defeat the United States. They were willing to die for the future of their children. When we get that through our thick heads, we'll be able to do the same thing. Dennis Knows, being one of the former commissioners of Benton Harbor and one of the outspoken people here in the city of Benton Harbor, tell me what you want to talk about. I know I want to talk a little bit about Ferguson, Missouri, but why don't we hit on that for a second and give us a few point of views about that, then we'll move on to something different.
Missouri, as we all well know, and I'm probably being redundant with it, the brother that went into the store to get the smokes wasn't the same brother that got murdered. The brother went in and got the smokes, had shorts and flip-flops on. The brother that got murdered was murdered by a cop that had nothing to do, that wasn't even coming on the scene about the what they call strong arm robbery, or armed robbery now in the store, and it wasn't armed. So it was a heinous, racist act of brutal murder, once again in America, by racist cops. Right now, in light of talking about this particular issue in Missouri, I'm just talking to a police officer whose name I can't mention. We're talking about internal racism in police departments on black police officers. As we well know, now numbers of black officers are being released. They're forced into retirement. They're forced in terms of terminations. They're not allowed to be given any rank. And this is showing us clearly that racism in America is alive, well, and kicking. But yet and still, where does our leadership, the preachers, when do the preachers begin to stand up and really say that they're leaders and really be leaders? It should not be one or two people in this country. We saw people die by water hoses, dogs, lynching, brutal murder, all-out shootings. We've seen the heinous acts of lynching. We've seen, and we see it constantly, just recently in Benton Harbor, two lynchings over in the Gene Clark Park area, the murders of several young men, drownings in the city of Benton Harbor, unknown in reference to we don't know how this happened.
Wow.
Officers, you know, on the scene, white in our area, in most areas in America, right now taking black folks out. But our problem is that we won't collectively work on the remedy. The remedy is not protesting. I think that you best said it the other day, Reverend Pinckney, when you begin to boycott, you take it out of their pockets. When you begin to go on the courthouse steps, walk in and force and say, we're just not taking this no more. When you go in and do a sit-in, we're not taking this no more. These are the actions we got to begin to take to do. Our kids don't have a clue. They're being right now. They got laws on us. For an example, they can come to your car, and although they're supposed to have a warrant to search your car, trick you into allowing them to come in the car, then they can plant stuff on you, as you know, and we've known these things to have happened in the past, and then arrest you for possession. Take you over to the county, and now they can put so much time on you, on our children, that they'll never see the light of day. By the time they come out, they're so confused with no opportunities in the community in which they live in to go back to, they commit crime after crime after crime. We have to stop this. We have to stop this as a force. They're taking our voices in your community. Reverend Pinckney's voice is they're attempting strongly to shatter him, but the devil is a lie. Right now, the devil is on the move because the facts are coming out on Berrien County. Well, I could go on and on and on. We know what we have to do. We just must take that stand and do it. Right now, Reverend Pinckney, I appreciate you so much, brother.
Hey, you know what? You know, this is just the beginning, Dennis, too, that you know that any time that you stand up and fight for what's right, you winning already. You know, and I think the formula that we're using right now is to make sure they understand that we're not going to back down. And I'm going to tell you like it is. We're just one step away from Ferguson, Missouri. Something happening in this community, it's going to blow up. I'm telling you, because these people is ready. I was out the other day telling them, I said, fight the power. You know, I was just, you know, just praying with everybody. I went past the soup kitchen and every place telling everybody to fight the power. And these people got excited. You know what I'm saying? They got excited.
The only thing that I would have a problem with, this is what we have to really be cognizant of too. Do not destroy your own neighborhood. Don't destroy our own neighborhoods.
I agree 100%.
Take this thing to the other level. Right. Go ahead, brother.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Listen. You got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on. So say whatever your heart desires.
Well, I'm glad to be here today, tonight, because tomorrow's going to be a powerful day in the city of Benton Harbor and Berrien County. It's just like, I guess they say that gunslingers are coming into the OK Corral. And it's not always the big, big, mighty, mighty, mighty great names that someone has chosen for us. It's that you, the leader, stand up in the community that you live in, knowing that you're standing on the truth, the facts, and you're doing it without shivering, shaking, or quaking. No matter what, they're going to come at you. You say, well, they'll take me to jail. They're going to take you to jail anyway.
That's right.
The problem is we have too much fear, and we need to drop fear. Fear will kill us, and fear has been killing us like cancer for very, very many, many, many decades. Right now, it's time to stand and believe in the God that you say you believe in. Let's take that stand and say all power to the people. Amen.
Hey, Dan. Hey, thank you so much, Dennis. We'll talk soon. You hear?
I love you, brother.
All right. Well, don't leave me. Hang out just for a few more minutes so you hear a few of these comments. Hey, let me bring in my good friend, my guy from New York. Beautiful New York. The man of the hour, Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. At what phone are you listening on? Which phone?
Uh-huh.
What is the number? Hello?
Hey, I'm here.
Yes, what phone are you listening on? What number?
I'm on the computer.
Yeah, okay. I'll talk into both phones. Can you hear me now?
Feedback.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to shut the other phone off.
Yes, that was the problem right there. All right. Uh-oh.
guests have been talking about some of the issues that are killing us. They're making it clear that these issues are not Ferguson or not Benton Harbor, that they are America and the world. And the issue that one of the other issues we're dealing with today is Ebola in Africa. And we think that these issues are not connected. They are the same issue over and over in every part of the world, in Vietnam, in Africa, in our inner cities. The problem is that there are those who will take our resources and our interests and use them to benefit another group. We know who that group is, the wealthy people in America, the 1%. They use all of us for their own benefit and totally disregard our persons. And let us look at Liberia, Nigeria, Ethiopia. All of these countries have been destroyed, decivilized, dehumanized by the European interest of going in and taking the resources. Why are we going to have a pandemic? And I tell you, we're going to have a pandemic because the doctors are running from Ebola. Why would the doctors run? Because there are no resources to support them. They don't have highways or roads to support them. They don't have medicine and refrigeration to support them. Therefore, when Ebola comes up, the country has been so destroyed, so decivilized, so disorganized by the European interests for resources, to steal the resources, that they have no defense against anything. And who helps them do that? The people within the community who are willing to sell the rest of their community for their own personal benefit. What's new? What's different? It's the same thing over and over again. How must we react to that? We must recognize, as the last guest said, that it isn't bringing in Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or President Obama. They are all the same person with different names serving another interest, and that interest is the wealthy in the world. They say it has become one world. It has. It has become one world of wealth against the oppressed people. And yes, we must resist this. And I say everyone has an answer. I love your answer, Reverend Pinckney. What you have not only been saying but been doing is boycott, use of economic sanctions. When do we get that through our head? We do not need Jesse Jackson marching down the street or Al Sharpton marching and leaving. What we need to do is keep our pennies in our pocket. We must emulate your struggle with Whirlpool by bringing them down, by withholding the thing that they want most, and that is our money. And another way that we have been working on for 30 years, if you don't want your children and your friends and your neighbors shot down in the street, if you don't want your community to be defenseless, what we must do is defend the defenders. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about those brothers and sisters throughout the years who have fought this system on our behalf and are presently rotting in jail. The other night I attended an event, a homecoming of one of our brothers, Marshal Eddie Conway, 44 years in jail, and he still has his head about him, and he's working over in Baltimore to educate the youth and the people of Baltimore as to what it's all about. And I could go on with a list. I was wearing a T-shirt with the number of 35 of our political prisoners on the back of my shirt. And Lynn Stewart put it up on her website with Marshal Eddie Conway sitting at the desk, and his name was one of the names on the back of my shirt. And these are the things that we must do. Keep your pennies in your pocket and bring all, I'm saying all, of our political prisoners home. And I'm not talking about color. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about race. A person becomes a political prisoner when they act on behalf of their community and then are jailed for those acts. This is number one, numero uno. This is what we must do. And we can bring our political prisoners home because the Puerto Rican independence movement brought all of their political prisoners home, and except Oscar Lopez Rivera. He is still in jail. And he is fighting them, and that community is fighting them. And I guarantee you that he will be home to enjoy his people because they all understand that he was the enemy of the people who put them in the economic and political situation they're in. He will come home because they recognize him as one of the people who is on their side, and they will support the people on their side. And we must learn to support those people of ours who fought in the 60s and the 70s to keep our communities safe from marauding lynchers in uniforms. That is the police department. They don't need a white hood anymore. They need a blue uniform or a brown uniform and a badge and a gun. This is the new lynch mob. I always say, forget the KKK. They're gone. But what we have is an army of occupation in uniform that does the same thing. If you don't understand, that was a lynching down in Ferguson. If you don't understand that was a lynching in Long Island, New York, if you don't understand that that was a lynching, a legal, political, military lynching with one shot out in Benton Harbor with the disappearance of young black people in America, you don't understand anything. And so what is the thing we must do? We must make them understand. We understand who our political prisoners are, why they are political prisoners, and what this country stands for. That means we understand them. And they will know we are serious when we bring our political prisoners home. And Lynn Stewart wants me to thank you one more time, Reverend Pinckney, and forever for your work at bringing her home. That your understanding that we must get those petitions signed, that your understanding of the petitions that must be signed on your behalf. She says, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the day she got out, I made the statement, one down, 149 to go. Marshal Eddie Conway is home down now, one down, and 148 to go, and somebody corrected me last night, and they says, Ralph, you're wrong. We got two down, and we have 250 to go. Get your count right. And I accept it. We have to look around and see all of those. I hadn't marked Reverend Pinckney down. Well, they had Reverend Pinckney in jail, and the people got Reverend Pinckney out. And the others who fought, and people fought to get out. We must remember them. And I keep smiling. There's no conversation that I have that I can't smile. And I say to people when I speak of Reverend Pinckney, I says, well, you know, Reverend Pinckney quoted Deuteronomy in court. And I say, you know, that Deuteronomy has some tough stuff in it if you dare read it. And I says, you know, they cut out certain sections of the Bible. And I says, I wonder about the ones that they cut out. Because some of the ones they left, it is dangerous quoting them. And it makes me smile because it's real, because you did go to jail, because you did quote Deuteronomy. And I like to make people understand, if you say it, mean it. And as Lynn Stewart says, I do what I do because the law says it. Our Bill of Rights say it. And if you don't mean it, don't say it. But they have said it. And she's going to act on it. Reverend Pinckney knows they said it, and he's going to act on it. We must join Reverend Pinckney, not so much with words, but with deeds. Support your political prisoners. Go to the Jericho website and look at all of those names. Write letters. Join organizations that are fighting to bring our brothers home. Make the system understand. We know what they have done in our inner cities. We know what they have done in Vietnam. We know what they have done in Africa. We know what they are trying to do in Afghanistan. We know what they are doing in Gaza. We must fight that with all of our hearts and our minds. Thanks, Reverend. And get your money, people. Get your money out to this message doesn't mean anything unless I send a few dollars out to Reverend Pinckney. It doesn't mean anything unless I sign a few petitions. Get some petitions signed. This is what we must do when we are angry with the man, and we want them to understand that we know the story. Thanks again, Reverend Pinckney. Thanks for giving me these two moments. I thank you. Lynn thanks you. Our family thank you. And we do contribute. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate that.
Right.
Listen, let's go. All right. Now it's time to bring in my good friend from New Orleans. My girl, Belinda Brown. Belinda Brown, are you there?
Hey, Pastor Pinckney.
Hey, what's
you
up,
are
Belinda
having
Brown?
A great show. Pastor Pinckney, you having a great show today. It's good to hear from you. I'm here to tell you I've been down in the trenches. I'm telling you we are putting up a fight down here for justice. We literally happen to force justice on our government, on our leadership, and almost to the point where we have to literally sue the media just to put our information out here exposing the injustice that's been taking place here in the state of Louisiana. Pastor Pinckney, I got to tell you this. Not even a couple weeks ago, we had our lead district attorney, Walter Reed, his brother, Richard Reed, was in a confrontation, was stopped by the police. And a young lady that was intoxicated, they arrested her and put her in jail. I guess he was trying to get her some attention and not have her to go to jail. He flashed a badge, Pastor Pinckney. And this man, you know, in order to carry a badge, you have to be post-certified, okay? You have to go through special training to get a badge. You have to be law enforcement in order to carry a badge. This man is the district attorney's brother, the lead district attorney's brother here in St. Tammany Parish, and he is walking around with a get-out-of-jail-free badge. He flashed the badge to Covington PD officers. He said, "Don't you know who I am?" and flashed his badge. They did not arrest this man. They did not book him and charge him with impersonating an officer. This man get to walk away. The community here is totally unrest about it, Pastor Pinckney. They are outraged about the fact that this man get to impersonate an officer, you know, flash a badge, and then come to find out we got over 400 and some badges. People walking around here with these fake badges, they call them honorary badges, but they're using them to get across the tolls for free, to get out of jail for free, all kinds of stuff they're using these fake badges because the district attorney, the lead district attorney that have maliciously prosecuted and have more people incarcerated, especially African-American men, in jail, sitting in these godforsaken hellhole jails and prisons across the state of Louisiana, is giving out these badges only if somebody gives him a $2,500 campaign donation, they get to walk away with a badge. What is going on, Pastor Pinckney? This is outrageous. I mean, this is, you know, it's unbelievable about what's happening here in the state of Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney. You know the story. That's the reason why we need you to come down here. We need to shut down this whole state and ask that we get a task force to come in here and take over every single government entity that's in the state of Louisiana because it is major, major, major corruption. Pastor Pinckney, Mr. Victor and his wife is sitting in jail.
These people
go to court tomorrow to be sentenced by a corrupt court, Pastor Pinckney, that refused to allow this man to have an attorney to represent himself on second-degree murder. He had to defend him and his wife in a trial, an 11-day trial. And I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, it's something that I had never seen before in my life. It was so disturbing until I could not believe what was happening right before my eyes. The whole courtroom was a circus. The judge, she gagged everybody, and nobody in the courtroom that had anything to do with his case was not allowed to talk to the media. This man couldn't even prepare his witnesses. He couldn't do nothing, Pastor Pinckney. He didn't even know how to select his jury that gave him his fate. This man was fighting for his life, and they found him guilty, and he go to be sentenced on tomorrow, him and his wife both.
Amazing. I tell you, this system is really something, Belinda. I just wish that it was something that we all can do, you know, but if we don't fight back, this is what we get. We got to make sure that people understand how important it is. If it's not your issue, most times people won't stand up for it. But Belinda, listen, I'm kind of short of time, but listen, why don't you take 90 seconds and tell us what you want us to do and what we need to do.
Pastor Pinckney, I have another young lady listening. She's from New Orleans, and she has her own TV show. And she called me on today, and she was, you know, she's looking at what's happening out there in Missouri and Ferguson, and that, you know, she was like, well, you know, what are we going to do? You know, look at these people are not only standing and voicing out and making noise on behalf of the cold-blooded, you know, murder, you know, that took place with Michael Brown. But these people out there, they're actually the voice for the whole country right now. Everybody should be, you know, at least trying to organize and mobilize and, you know, come out and stand for their own communities. We cannot be silent, Pastor Pinckney. You know, your fight there in Benton Harbor, you know, I know that you is the greatest fighter. I mean, you have trained me very well. And, you know, but Pastor Pinckney, I'm telling you, it's time. It's time for people to realize that it's people like you that you need help. You need everybody to join up and unite with you and come together on a strong united front so that we can make noise across this country about what's happening in everybody's communities.
All right, Belinda.
Her name is Janet, Pastor Pinckney. Her name is Miss Janet. I hope you have time to at least let her come on for a few minutes and talk about some of the great things that she's doing here in the state of Louisiana. And, you know, it's so important that we have this opportunity to be heard, you know, because people down here are suffering.
All right, Belinda, what's her number?
Her number is, hold on 1 minute. It's, it should be like the last number is 36, I think it is. Her last name is Janet. I mean, her first name is Janet. Do you see it, Pastor? Okay, here you go. I got it. It's her number should be 3. Oh, gosh, wait a minute. It's 504, Pastor Pinckney. 504. It's either 3072 on the end.
All right, I got you, Belinda. I got it. Come on. And
it was good to hear from Dennis Knowles. Tell Dennis to give me a call, Pastor Pinckney. Because it was exciting to hear him on the radio. I mean, to hear him on Blog Talk Radio today.
All right, then. Listen, I got to go.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, now. Let me bring in my good friend, Gloria. Gloria, you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney.
How you doing today?
I'm here. I'm good. I'm very good today. Reverend Pinckney, I started looking, you know, searching, like, why are we targeted individuals? Why would anyone want to do this? But in my research, I found out that what was happening during the Nazi era, they just shifted it across the waters, and it has been going on, and it's still going on. So what I'm reading today is current major companies that helped the Nazis' war effort. Current major companies that helped the Nazi war effort was IBM. They designed a punch card system for keeping track of populations in concentration camps. Hugo Boss designed Nazi SS uniforms and produced them using Jewish slave labor. The Rockefeller Foundation helped found the German eugenics program and even found the program that Joseph Mengele worked for before he went to Auschwitz. Bayer Aspirin, a sister company to Nazi IG Farben. Bayer not only created and gave heroin its name, but also created Zyklon B gas. That was for the gas chambers. Bayer also to this day denies that aspirin was created by a Jewish scientist, Arthur Eichlergren, and instead claims that the pure form of the drug and its origins in the hands of an Aryan scientist, Felix Hoffman. Bayer also employed one Joseph Mengele. This guy really got around. General Electric / Krupp partnered with former German mutants, artificially raised the cost of U.S. defense preparations while helping subsidize Hitler's, what they did is we paid, they raised the price on things that we purchased in this country from General Electric, and they gave the rest of that money to Hitler for his rearmament of Germany. General Motors was involved, Siemens was involved, BMW, Coca-Cola, Kodak, Random House, Allianz Insurance, Chase Bank, and Nestle. And they tried to pay people back, but once you have that grit in your system, it's there. So we have always been diabetically just ready to be wiped out. They have tried all kinds of things, and they feel now that this no-touch torture is the thing that's going to do it. So we still continue, the AIPAC group still continues to wake up organizations. We continue to go on calls and wake up organizations and let them know what's going on. And someone asked about Detroit, so I gave them your number the other day. I said, you tune into this show, and you'll find out what's going on in Detroit and around. So I just want to thank you for letting me share that with you.
All right. Peace. Listen, you take care of yourself. And tell Amy I say hey.
I sure will.
All right now. You take care of yourself. All right. Let's bring in my good friend, Dorothy. Dorothy, you there?
I am, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Let me kind of jump into it because I want to give out some information for people to watch. Miss Gloria did a wonderful segue so that I can begin speaking. Before I jump into the first YouTube video I want people to watch, just a little information. I'm very white, and yet in the late 1990s, I actually met up with Reverend Jesse Jackson and was sharing with him, trying to share with him about 57 questions that had come out of the military that was used since the 1970s on allowing our military leadership or anybody within the military to rape, beat, or brutalize its own good members. This 57 questions was rolled out after being legitimized in 1985 in our U.S. Congress in one of the subcommittee hearings, and it was rolled out across this country and trained to police officers and attorneys who would be future judges to throw out legitimate rape and various levels of abuse. It doesn't matter if the person was drugged and how badly they were brutalized. It literally was throwing out these victims' testimonies. Within this training encampment, if you will, advocates and victims were not allowed in to listen to the training. I have those 57 questions, and you must score a zero to be considered telling the truth about your abuse. Let me just give you a couple questions. If you told a friend first about your abuse, you were lying. If you fought against your assailant, you were lying that you weren't abused. If you had any financial problems, had any problems with any man whatsoever, you were lying. Those are two different questions. So these are just a few of the questions, and it only gets worse from there, but you must score below a zero to be considered telling the truth that you were abused. So this is what a great many police have been taught, along with the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, which was out of Philadelphia, the foundation, which was CIA doctors that was virtually about quack sciences and denying that victims of rape or sexual abuse, physical abuse or rape were in fact telling the truth. That was done in the 1970s. Now, I'm going to shift a little bit and tell you that when I attempted to tell Jesse Jackson about this for all communities, he wouldn't even break his stride to listen and or even to assist in dealing with this. Another person who's running for Congress who actually got this 57 questions was Marianne Williamson out of California. She received those and did nothing that I know of to even stop this onslaught of abuse towards people. Now, I would like everybody to listen to David Corso. This is YouTube video. Put in David Corso, C-O-R-S-O. Super Soldier, 7 April 2010. Again, David Corso, Super Soldier, 7 April 2010. The reason why this is very important, these are 10 parts, 10 minutes each, so not too much time. David Corso was a first-generation MK Ultra Project Talent, T-A-L-E-N-T, Talent. It was about the physical, sexual, psychological, or technological abuse, severe abuse of children to such a degree that it splinters their personalities. And they can do a great deal of different things that they would not normally volunteer for. This is clearly a violation of human rights. Please listen to that video in its entirety. Take what you don't believe in, but listen to all of it because it is telling you what is wrong with our society and what a lot of us have been put through. Now I'm going to go to another video, and this video is very important, YouTube video. Put in the YouTube video, the Bulletproof Mind. This is by Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman. The Bulletproof Mind. David Grossman also wrote the book on killing that gives a history of how America began to help its military and police to defend itself in war and how to increase killing. In the YouTube video, The Bulletproof Mind, he begins to talk about how the Japanese would, with its soldiers, during World War II, would take a POW, and while the other soldiers were cheering, would bayonet to death one of the POWs. That evening, they would give those soldiers the best food and would actually give them women who were known as the comfort women. Now, these were women who were kidnapped all over the region and forced into sexual slavery against their will, in which they were brutalized by soldiers of the Japanese army and others. Please know, I have met some of those Japanese comfort women, or some of the East Asian Pacific comfort women. They cannot get their own government, Korea, or any other, including the U.S., to acknowledge that they were forced into sexual slavery. Now, move this forward. What happened in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s on our own TVs and radios? We began seeing a close, ongoing, and increasing, ever so increasing, shows that had both sex and violence coupled together. That's what Grossman's work, when he was talking about this, they began doing. Now, another part of Grossman's speech in this presentation, The Bulletproof Mind, by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, that's really important, is that towards the end of this, it begins discussing how you break down a human being. And I mean break them down to the point where even their motor skills are breaking down. It is important to listen to this because they have known how to do this in every community, including in our military, to a great many of us that were tortured. I was one of them in the 1980s. And we were tortured using what would become known as the enhanced interrogation techniques. We were totally shattered. There are 7 laws of immunity that give military members immunity if they torture, rape, sexually enslave, brutalize their own people, and the VA is hiding it. In fact, the VA is promoting and allowing for this ongoing criminal behavior to happen, to break down these victims so they can never speak about what's happening. Getting back to Grossman's information again, The Bulletproof Mind by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, another important aspect he talks about, which comes right down to the heart of all of the violence that is exploding. He goes across this country and helps to militarize police officers. He talks about how police officers had been initially trained with waiting until a person would turn around and look at them, and many police were being shot because of the increased hostility and adrenaline that these people on the streets, now we know that there are people that do harm to other people, and we understand that, but what has happened instead is that how they have militarized them and how they're discussing this within this tape. The sad thing about it is that often many of the people that are being shot are often people who in their youth and throughout from their youth on up, have been denied any system of criminal justice, of holding people accountable for their brutality, their abuse, physical, sexual, psychological abuse. They are often people who've been denied competent help, both medically or mentally, because we now know that out of Germany, Nazi Germany, they've put together the quack sciences known as the DSM-4, which is the diagnostic manual that are all made up. You can go out and watch a video on cchr.org. The documentary is The Hidden Enemy, which details how the quack sciences have been brought to this country and literally lied about people who have been criminally brutalized, calling them mentally ill. Now, these overlapping systems, you'll begin to see the pattern of how these police are now being trained. Now, here's another thing, because I've experienced this personally myself, is that when you have somebody from the U.S. military who is pro-rape and pro-abuse and who had no concept of understanding about if you're only supposed to take out an enemy rather than the entire block of people, and they put him in a uniform, then what is his mentality? His mentality is the same that it was from the beginning. And having been in Germany in the 1980s, Germany wasn't free Germany. It was actually very militarized.
Absolutely.
Most
people
don't even know that.
Dorothy, you got about 60 seconds to finish it up.
Well, I'd just like to say, you know, I hope I can get a hold of David Frank. I'd like to be able to talk to him because, again, there are some other things that need to be done concerning his program. But, again, check out those websites and pay attention because these are all overlapping issues. Thank you for sharing.
All right, thank you. All right, let's bring in my good friend, Attorney Fine. Attorney Fine, you there?
Yeah, hi, Reverend Pinky. How are you?
All right, all right. How you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. It's a tragedy of what's happening.
Yeah, believe me, I understand. It's been one of them days, busy days.
As we were talking before the show today, it's time that we started testing at another level also. And that is the level of satire.
Attorney Fang, your phone sounds funny.
Okay, can you hear me a little better now?
It's like an echo in there. Hello? Attorney Fang, did I lose you? All right, let me go to Roz and I'll come back to you. Roz, you
okay. I am here. I, too, am deeply saddened. When the boy's mother said, you don't know how hard it was to get him to graduate high school, that just pierced my heart. I got it. I am deeply saddened, and I pray to God that this is a wake-up call for everybody, no matter if you're black, white, Latino, pink, green, whatever you are, it's time to speak up. We see Christians killed across the globe. Everybody needs to stand up together and speak up. The President, Congress, they are not America. We are America. All of us united together can win. Second Chronicles 20. We can win together under God. Only that way can we win here. And I think it's wonderful this week, Reverend Pinkney, that they're going to recall the mayor. What a blessing from God.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's about that time. You know, the people need victory. That's what we need. And we got to make sure that we're doing the things that need to be done. And Rob, I know how difficult it is for these victories to come, but we're going to win this battle. We're going to show them.
We are going to win.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about you. Tell me about you and what you want people to know.
Okay, well, this week, because Los Angeles Unified School District, with the help of Don Watkins, the disability manager, because they have killed off injured teachers, such as myself, by not calling the paramedics or cleaning up the rooms and paying off whore doctors and lawyers and deals with judges, and we do not get the proper medical care as the Constitution states, and I have not been paid since January of 2010, and they're going to turn off my electricity. I've got the notice. At times I haven't had money for food or able to pay my bills. I just make it look good, and I keep going on. And we must stand up. This must stop. This is our taxpayer money in the state of California. But there's a money train here. There's deals in the back room. A school district that can buy millions and billions of dollars on iPads without all the parts and not all the educational programs even complete, solar panels they can buy, $500 million schools with talking benches, but they can't follow the Constitution to alleviate or cure injuries at the school. And so they kill off teachers. Yes, they do. Don Watkins, you have killed off Charles Smith, a wonderful human being, by denying his medical care. You have denied me my medical care, even though the school said I had an act of violence. And here, I'm a person who worked hard my whole life, like so many of you out there. We don't have to be the richest person. We just have to have a good heart and be an honest, loving person. That's all. and they want to destroy my life and health, and I will keep speaking up. But now I need money to pay my electric bill because they're going to turn it off.
Wow.
So every day is something else, and I know in Detroit they're turning off seniors' water. We have to unite to speak up. And when I called for you, I was honored to call for you. I was honored to call for a man that stands up for what's right. And when the man said that I was harassing him, asking for what we're all entitled to investigate what was going on in your case, how they were changing all the facts, he was so rude and disgusting, which I told him that he didn't scare me. And I said, he's only doing it to all of you because you're black. This is disgusting. White, black, everybody must unite together, must stand together under God and help each other. We don't need lawyers. We don't need district attorney's office. We don't need attorney general's office. We don't need a judge like I had, Judge Gerald Cohn. We don't need Frank Christine, the lawyer for LAUSD, or a school district that is killing off teachers, purposely killing off teachers. And can you imagine what they're doing to our children? All our children, ruining their education, ruining their futures. Where are all the pastors? I've wondered this. Where are black pastors, Latino pastors? Where's all the rabbis? Where is everybody to speak up? I don't hear it. I don't even hear the teachers who are arguing over the new board that came in for UTLA, United Teachers Los Angeles. What do you think they're waiting for? They'll put some more in teacher jail? They'll deny them a raise again? They'll have teachers and students and parents talking about them so they'll get rid of them? They'll ruin their life and their health and they'll die? We must speak up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Roz, listen, I'm running out of time, so take 60 seconds, say whatever you want. I got to bring in Attorney Fang. Go ahead.
Okay, hugs to everybody. We have more people hugging than anybody else, over 800,000. We're all praying for each other, blessings and miracles. I know it's tough out there, but we are all standing together under God together, which is so incredible and so loving. And don't let anybody tell you that we don't love each other. We do, and we care, and we're going to have victory here. And thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for bringing us together and loving us and showing us the right way to go in truth and love in God's way. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Roz. You have a beautiful day and take care of yourself. I got to bring in my good friend, Attorney Fan. Attorney Fan, are you there?
Yes, Reverend. Can you hear me better now?
You're still a little staticky, but go right ahead because I know you got a message you want to deliver. So go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the message is that everyone is speaking about uniting, and the gentleman who wants to use the public TV, it's a tremendous idea. However, we have to link that idea into the bottom line of getting out there and voting. Voting on public TV is very good, but it still isn't the ballot box. And until it's in the ballot box, it's not going to work. So we have to do that next link, which gets it into the ballot box. And until we change the Constitution, we aren't going to get that far. So with that being said, I endorse everything that he's saying, but we still have to get out there and vote. Now, there's one other thing. We've all been very, very serious about what we're doing. But, you know, the one thing that kills satire, and what I'm suggesting, is we have to now go out in front of these people. How really ridiculous they are. Because when we're talking serious man, then in and try and say we're serious that we don't.
Attorney Fan, you're breaking up, Attorney Fan. You're breaking up.
Okay, let me try it again. But when we're talking about them in a serious manner, what happens is that they come back and they say that we're serious, that we're outrageous, that we're mad, and we're all of these other things. Now let's get in there and start talking about them like the fools that they really are. Let's start making fun of them. let's start showing how really ridiculous it is that corporations are sitting out there and not paying any taxes and letting us foot the bill for everything that they're doing. Let's start going out there and showing how really ridiculous it is that judges who receive immunity from criminal prosecution for taking bribes are sitting and trying to judge us. Let's get in there and really show how really stupid it is that policemen who go out and kill people are trying to say that they're upholding the law. Let's just really make fools out of them for the fools that they really are. And let's start doing that and showing how really ridiculous it is. And let's do one other thing. Let's show how really ridiculous it is for people who don't vote to sit there and think that they should really talk about something instead of getting out there and voting. So this week I'm suggesting that not only do we become active, but that we come in and we show how really ridiculous everything is and start making fun of these people, what really fools they are, and really show them to be the stupid, stupid people that they are. The man that does cartoons, let him go forward and do more cartoons, because cartoons are what kills people. What you show what idiots the people are really hurts them. So I think that we're doing now, then we up our ante and start showing how very ridiculous these people are, because nobody can survive being shown to be a fool. And that's my message for this week, Reverend Pinkney. And once again, everyone go to the website, http://www.voteforjustice.org or http://www.campaignforjudicialintegrity.org. God bless you. Let's keep the fight going.
All right, Dr. Fine, we'll get you back next weekend. Hope we get a better reception, but just thank you so much. And we're going to talk very, very soon. And we're going to make sure that people understand exactly where you're going with this. I simply want to tell everybody, I'm hoping that my message is clear. The military is now in our community, whether we like it or not. Every single community has at least a couple of tanks. Those of you who are out there who don't believe that the military is in our community, you're going to have a rude awakening. They're here, and they're not here to protect you. So those of you who are out there, where they have this buyback gun situation, I'm definitely not in favor of it. I don't believe that a person should be armed. I believe without weapons, you're digging your... If you're willing to trade a gun in, a gift card, or a pair of Nike shoes, you got a problem. We're at war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. And they think that they're afraid of us. I always talk about the Vietnamese War. What the Vietnamese did was so amazing, then I will always, always reference that. And don't forget about the Haitians. They did something that they're still paying the price for. They're paying the price because they beat down the French, even today. So we must come together and fight this monster. And the bottom line, we can win. Keep your money in your pocket. Stop spending your money where people don't want you. Ferguson, Missouri. Benton Harbor, Michigan. New York City. All the cities have something in common. They hate us. 4 bodies found floating in Lake Michigan here in Benton Harbor. The word was no foul play. It's always no foul play. Because the word is, we run fast, but we don't run long. We out here, we're the busiest people there is in the whole wide world. And we're not busting the grapes. It is time that we start standing up for the future of our children. It's not about Reverend Pinckney. Absolutely not. It's about the future of our children. We're dealing with a monster right here. We're dealing with a court system that's ran by a corporation. We're dealing with a prosecutor, Michael Steppen, who's controlled by Whirlpool Corporation. We're dealing with judges that are controlled by Whirlpool Corporation. We're dealing with the puppet mayor who controlled by Whirlpool Corporation, James Hightower. But we the people must take a stand. We must stand up for each other. I always say, if you call me, I'll come. I do want to go to Ferguson, Missouri. I got a couple of hearings coming up. So I got to deal with that. And I want people to know that we're going to win this battle. We're going to fight until the end. This is just the beginning to show people what we are capable of doing with no resources. If we had any resources at all, wow. I can't even imagine where we would be today. But I want people to understand how important it is to take a stand. Benton Harbor, Michigan. Ferguson, Missouri. And all the rest of them are all connected. Oppression. Economics. They don't want to put black people to work no more. They used to term the black people as lazy. Well, there's no job, you will get lazy. We're talking about 70% of the people that live in Benton Harbor is unemployed. 90% live below the poverty level. 90%. And nobody's talking about it. It's time for the revolution. It's time for the revolution. Time for the revolution. It's just that time. So we have to do what we're supposed to do. And the revolution is now. Don't give up your guns. Keep your guns. Do not give them up. Whatever you do, they want to disarm you. Don't allow them to do so. Are we talking about revolution? Sorry about that. We are talking about a revolution, and it's here. So let's. All right, maybe we get it right this time. There you go. All right, so let's get ourselves ready for the revolution, because it's coming, whether we like it or not. So do not give up your guns. Do not give up your weapons. Stand firm and fight. Fight for the future. Remember the Vietnam War. Remember the Haitians. We're talking about a revolution. All right.
I'm not a little
About a revolution. Hold on to your guns. Do not allow them to disarm you. Good night, all. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you all.